What is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Ant and Big Red vs. the World. As always, I am Big Red.
And as always, I'm Average Ant.
And we got an exciting show for you today. I think it's one that I definitely put in the most research I have so far. A very interesting development, something that's kind of been put off for a while, I think. So, Ant, you want to talk about the big news we're going over today?
Yeah, so for those that don't follow basketball or sports in general, Anthony Davis's super agent, Rich Paul, recently broke a tweet or whatever that's said that he's basically requesting a trade from the Pelicans and will not re-sign when his contract expires and will not re-sign any sort of extension. So this kind of puts the Pelicans in a tough spot here.
Yeah, it definitely does. And this news breaking just a couple days ago, after the beginning of the season, where it kind of seemed like Anthony Davis maybe wanted to stay in New Orleans, wanted to win there. And so the Pelicans were really adamant about not wanting to trade him and not going to trade him. And then, of course, Anthony Davis asks super agent Rich Paul of Clutch Sports and agent of LeBron James to request a trade.
Yeah, and I mean, touching kind of on the real quick on the that it was looking like AD was kind of going to stay a little bit, building off that playoff run that they kind of had where they swept the Blazers. I mean, it did really look like he was going to stay. I mean, obviously not re-signing Boogie and his Achilles and injury and everything kind of put a little bit of a damper on that. But I mean, it looked like they were going to get some sort of help with Drew Holiday kind of breaking out and all that. But obviously injuries happen. So that's kind of probably what pushed AD to the realization that he needs to get out of New Orleans.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I think that Anthony Davis was honestly a little bit hurt by Boogie not re-signing or the Pelicans not giving him something better than the 1 year, $5 million that the Warriors gave him. I mean, it's Anthony Davis said during his monstrous second half where he carried the Pelicans all the way past the Blazers and an eventual loss to the Warriors. He said that, like, can't even imagine what we'd be doing if Boogie didn't go down, basically. And so him not being re-signed probably bugged him a little bit, even though he didn't really publicly say too much about it. And then on top of that, Drew Holiday's been injury-plagued his entire time in New Orleans. And not to say that Anthony Davis hasn't, but I mean, the Pelicans were in a precarious situation, and I think it's frustrating probably for the Pelicans because they got off to a good start, and then they were hit with injuries, and that's kind of been a theme for Pelicans teams throughout Anthony Davis's tenure there, and obviously it's played an impact and worn down Anthony Davis. He's tired of losing for the Pelicans, and he wants to go be a winner somewhere, maybe in a big market.
Yeah, and I mean, on the Boogie thing real quick, the Pelicans had offered him something like 2 years and $40 million, but Boogie felt kind of disrespected that he wasn't getting somewhere close to max. And I mean, obviously Anthony Davis is going to back him up on that. Like, they got really close while they were there. They felt like they could have done something in the playoffs had Boogie been healthy. So he felt AD and Boogie both kind of felt like the Pelicans didn't really respect both of them with that, like, low ball offer.
Yeah, and so exactly. I mean, that's that right there just shows, like, the first, well, maybe not the first, but a big crack in Anthony Davis's kind of trust in the franchise and probably desire to stay there long term.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking on the Pelicans' ineptitude a little bit, they requested that the NBA investigated the tampering, supposedly the tampering that went down with this Anthony Davis trade request. So, like you said pre-show, that it's against the CBA to come out and publicly request a trade, but Everybody does it. Everybody, their mom is allowed to come out and request a trade. But for some reason, the Pelicans felt like they should request the NBA to investigate this. And I mean, it just broke today that AD was fined $50,000. Wow, like I bet that hurt. I bet that hurt his bank account a lot. I mean, he only makes X amount times that every game. So I mean,
he's not sweating. $310,000 per game.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not even he'd even miss out on a whole quarter of pay from one game. So that's just ridiculous. So kind of pushing this tampering thing. What are your thoughts kind of on that?
First of all, I think it once again reiterates the kind of disconnect a little bit in the franchise. I mean, this is your guy that's been your franchise guy since 2013. I mean, he's been the dude, and you want to keep him here long term, and now it kind of just seems like the Pelicans are upset that they screwed up the 5 or 6 years they had of Anthony Davis, and so they're like, well, your agent's the same as LeBron's, and LeBron said he'd want to play with you. LeBron's been conspiring against us from the beginning. Maybe, but you know, you still had to sign and injure and let your training staff let your guys get injured and just basically put an inept roster around Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis strikes me as the obviously not undisputed GOAT player like Mike Trout is, but the kind of Mike Trout of the NBA a little bit, where everyone's looking at Anthony Davis as an MVP candidate, and the Pelicans are bad pretty much every year, unless Anthony Davis is literally strapping them all up into his backpack and carrying them to a dub.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago on opening night, the Pelicans were playing some team like the Nets, I think, and AD had gone off for like 50, 10, 5, 5, 5. Obviously, those aren't the exact numbers, but he was like one of the, like, the only people in history to put up a stat line like that. And they barely beat the Nets or whatever team, I don't remember off the top of my head, by a few points. So, I mean, that kind of reiterates the fact of that Anthony Davis has to be playing at an all-time level every game, night in, night out, just for them to have a chance to sniff the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why it just strikes me as kind of like a bitter move. Like, I'm Anthony Davis, with a year and a half left on his contract, basically told the team that he is not going to commit to the long term. To me, if anything, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm like, thank you. Thank you for requesting this trade. So, A, as a franchise, we don't have to just give you up and then have people be like, oh, what if he wanted to re-sign? Anthony Davis just gave you an out for your fan base, for everyone. And B, with a year left on his contract, his value is much, much, much higher. Now, if I'm the Pelicans, I probably, if Anthony Davis was going to request a trade, it probably would have been nicer to know at the beginning of the season when we're not 8 or 9 days from the trade deadline or whatever it is. And maybe they could have got something done quicker, but at the end of the day, the Pelicans are going to get assets for Anthony Davis, and having the NBA requesting the NBA further investigates tampering is just silly. Like, what are you going to get out of it? You're just going to get your star franchise player, the dude that basically leads your franchise in a ton of categories. And you're just going to make it like a bitter exit. Best case scenario for your request. What actually happened was the NBA was like, really? You really want us to do this? Like, nobody cares. And so they go in and they enforce a CBA rule that's never enforced, ever. Like, and the $50,000 fine's a perfect example of how little the NBA actually cares about the Pelicans wanting tampering to be enforced.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of where it comes from, I think, is less of the that he let them know and stuff, because I think I agree with you on the it's nice to have a heads up, obviously, that he's not going to re-sign, really, no matter what. So, I mean, it's best to know that and trade him and get something out of it than just having him walk and not get anything out of it. But I think more of where they kind of, the Pelicans, where their request to investigate the tampering comes from, like the whole LeBron situation where it was super public. And I mean, all LeBron really said was that he would love to play with AD. But I mean, you know how the media took that and runs with it. So it comes from that, because when there's tampering, quote unquote tampering, where a player requests a trade, there really isn't anybody, especially of like LeBron's magnitude, that comes out and says that they would love them on their team. So I think that's more of where it comes from. I mean, even that, I'm just still like, why even request an investigation? But I mean, the Pelicans are going to Pelican, so.
That's good. I like that. But yeah, no, it just, that whole tampering thing is just stupid to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I guess going from something that doesn't really make any sense, we'll try to make some sense in where we think AD is kind of going to go, what cases different teams have in getting him. So I guess to kind of start it off, the best odds for getting AD, or where he will be playing, is the Lakers are leading it at minus 125. I'm not familiar with betting odds or whatever, so I don't know if that's a big lead or not. But Celtics at plus 150. The Pelicans are third at plus 600. Then the Knicks and 76ers are both at plus 850. So you could pick and choose, I guess, out of the litter where you kind of want to talk first about this.
Yeah, and it's not often that an MVP candidate with a year left on his contract, which will be at $27 million next year, goes on the market like this. So, I mean, there obviously is a lot of teams that are clamoring to be a part of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. And so, I mean, I guess just getting it going, I might as well pick the flashiest one, the one that I think is the most tamper implicated. We'll just start it off with the Lakers. Obviously, we've talked about it even earlier in the season. It was our storylines to watch. Where's Anthony Davis? Is Anthony Davis going to stay with the Pelicans? And if not, are the Lakers going to be the team that gets him? And right now with LeBron, the Lakers are 5-10 without him since he's been hurt. It dropped out from, I think, the 6th seed down to the 9th seed in that time span. And unfortunately, it's kind of shown that LeBron really was patching up a ton of the leaks in the young Laker core. And so the Lakers are searching for stars, young stars. Anthony Davis is only 26 years old. You pair 26-year-old Anthony Davis with LeBron James, and title hopes are there. And with some of the news that broke today about a certain somebody in Boston being open to rejoining the King, I think the Lakers would be a really, to me at least, they're the most exciting option for basketball right now. But and part of that's probably because I look at the Warriors at least, and I'm like, anyone get good enough to beat them, please.
Yeah, and I mean, from if Anthony Davis is going to get traded before the trade deadline, which is February 7th, the Lakers do have the best package in that time frame. So, like you said, AD and LeBron paired up will be a championship hopeful duo for at least 2 to 3 years, maybe more, depending on how much of a freak LeBron is and if he's going to continue being one of the best or the best player in the league until he's 40. But so that'll be a good duo, like I said, for another 2 to 3 years. But what's so good about kind of pursuing Anthony Davis from a Lakers standpoint is he's 26, and it allows you to have that star once LeBron inevitably, or not inevitably, falls off or retires. So that kind of gives them some more security, kind of trading all of their assets for that, because they're also getting a huge future asset back in Anthony Davis. So, I mean, kind of laying it out, there's reports where trade start. This is where they start at, with Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Zubac, a number one pick. That's where it starts. That's the bare minimum that the Pelicans have said that they'll take from the Lakers. So, I mean, kind of with that, you could kind of customize a package or something, take some, add some, swap players or something. And what do you think the Pelicans would be willing to take from the Lakers for Anthony Davis?
I mean, I've seen deals as much as Lonzo, KCP, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, Zubac, and a first-round pick, which I personally think is a lot to ask. The benefit here, so you're totally right. Right now, the Lakers are the best spot for AD before the trade deadline. The Lakers are the most desperate team, in theory, the most desperate team to acquire this star this year, right now, even if it is only for 25 games or whatever. And so I think that's kind of why these deals are so, or at least to me, seem so heavy-handed on the Lakers side. That's given up a lot. Like, Lonzo was praised, was the number two overall pick?
Yeah, number two.
Yeah. And Kyle Kuzma's having a even better year than last year. Brandon Ingram has kind of done what he's done his whole career, has shown flashes. But he's still... Brandon Ingram is an NBA contributor at this level, so I for me at least, I think kind of a deal around Brandon Ingram and either Lonzo Ball or Josh Hart, and then salary stuff, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, maybe you toss in Zubac or a first-round pick. So for me, I think that parting with Brandon Ingram would get rid of kind of a bigger body, allow a little more space for LeBron and Anthony Davis as then the two biggest defenders and biggest offensive threats. And so I think Brandon Ingram would have to go in a deal like this. And then it just kind of comes down to what New Orleans values more. Is it Lonzo Ball or is it Josh Hart? Or maybe they really value Kuzma and you keep Josh Hart or something along those lines. And then I think the 2019 first-round pick probably has to be in there just so the Pelicans can feel like they're getting more future assets.
Yeah, I think kind of like the base package or whatever, Zoku, Zubac, and a number one pick obviously has to be there. And I think they would have to throw in Josh Hart and/or Brandon Ingram. But if I'm the Pelicans, I'm kind of taking that package with Brandon Ingram and KCP, obviously, for like salary stuff. Because like I would even kind of, if I'm the Pelicans, if the Lakers offer me that, but swap Kuzma with Brandon Ingram, I'm considering taking that, because although Kuzma obviously is a more proven player, he's better as of now. Brandon Ingram does have higher upside and has higher potential to become something more than what Kuzma is. And I mean, that's kind of what you have to take if you're the Pelicans, because Kuzma, a guy that's going to help you right now, he's not going to go out there and score almost 30 a game. He's a good role player. He's a top tier role player. He's going to give you around 20. But I mean, how much is that really going to help you if you're the Pelicans? And if you're trading Anthony Davis, you're obviously rebuilding. So you're not really going to need that 20 points anyway. You're going to need like something that's going to give you draft picks, good draft picks. So that's kind of where I think they should kind of, if they do just take the gamble on Brandon Ingram. I mean, and then from the Lakers' standpoint, they kind of need to keep Josh Hart. I'd rather them keep Josh Hart and trade Lonzo because, like you kind of mentioned to me earlier, is that LeBron and Zoe, their play styles don't really mesh well. I mean, although Lonzo's a really good player, he does everything well but score. I mean, LeBron obviously takes priority over that, and LeBron does everything well plus score, so he doesn't need another guy really on the team that can do all of that and would need to control the ball. So, I mean, keeping a Josh Hart and a Kyle Kuzma who can like serve as like spot-up shooters pretty much for LeBron would be best-case scenario for the Lakers to keep.
I 100% agree, and those were like the biggest things for me when I'm looking at these big packages from the Lakers, which I think they have to be big packages mm-hmm. for New Orleans to be lured into doing a deal before the offseason, because there's a lot of suitors and there's a lot of teams with a lot more enticing assets, I guess I should say, than the Lakers kind of present right now. But yeah, exactly. Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, I think, are much better system fits for LeBron and role players for him. Lonzo, good player that he is, hopefully can develop that scoring down the line. As of right now, it's counterintuitive a little bit to have them on the floor. I mean, obviously you're taking quality minutes out of Lonzo for sure, but again, their play styles are so similar that if you're going to trade somebody, why not keep the spot-up shooters that LeBron basically forced Cleveland to acquire every deadline?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really, like, with these packages, I kind of don't really see it working out with what the Lakers will be willing to give up. I mean, obviously their hand is going to be pushed by LeBron. GM LeBron is going to be in the office, in the front office, kind of lobbying for whatever to get Anthony Davis, because, you know, LeBron's willing to trade anything to get someone like Anthony Davis. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that works out, what kind of packages are offered, what's speculated, and all that.
Yeah, absolutely, and rightfully so. I mean, I personally think the Lakers should give up whatever they need to, really, to get Anthony Davis. A trade like this, they will bring in Anthony Davis, and assuming they ditch KCP and with maybe a few moves in the offseason, they can still get around $25 million in cap space in the offseason with Anthony Davis and LeBron James both under contract. So, I mean, that's fairly close to a max. And so it at that point, with a pairing of AD and LeBron, I mean, it wouldn't be that far-fetched to bring in a third star, or at least a, maybe not elite level talent, but definitely top tier.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go as far as to say trading three of the four kind of young players. I mean, I would definitely want to keep one of Lonzo, Kuzma, Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram if I'm the Lakers.
Definitely.
But I mean, it kind of, I don't know, it's a difficult situation when there's a potential, not a potential all-time great, because he is all-time great, but there's a potential to get him, yeah. Then it's kind of like you kind of do have to go all out a little bit.
I absolutely agree.
All right, so kind of going from one super big market team to another, the Knicks have been in talks a little bit. They're pursuing a trade. I'm not really too big on the Knicks at all, really. Because they don't have ideally as much assets as you would want if you're the Pelicans. So I'll let you kind of take it from here.
So I'm actually a little upset. I kind of really like what the Knicks have to offer the Pelicans. The Knicks have something that pretty much no other team that's in the Anthony Davis hunt, really. That's a place where Anthony Davis wants to go, which has been said. New York is on the list of places he would possibly resign. The one thing the Knicks have that nobody else can match is that's in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes is a chance at the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Them and the Cleveland Cavaliers are competing right now for the worst record in the NBA. I think they have one more win than the Cavs do right now. And adding Anthony Davis with 25 games left isn't going to change that a whole lot. Now, if Anthony Davis comes in and they start winning a bunch, I mean, then sucks to suck for the Pelicans, I guess. But right now, it would be unprotected. Right now, the 2019 first-round pick gives the Pelicans a shot at Zion Williamson. And that, to me, is the biggest asset that, at least right now, with all the hype around him as pretty much the consensus number one overall pick, that, to me, gives the Knicks an asset that nobody else can really match. It's you're trading a franchise player for your next, literally for your next potential franchise cornerstone. Now, I think that this Knicks deal is probably something that would get done in the offseason, where the Pelicans would wait and see what that pick's going to be, and then it becomes a Cleveland Cavaliers Kevin Love type situation where they give up the number one pick for that player specifically. So after the Knicks draft Zion, then they give him up for Anthony Davis. And I obviously, I think there's other pieces that need to happen. I think the Knicks would, in order for this to make sense in their kind of rebuild, they'd have to ditch Tim Hardaway Jr.'s salary. Couple years, $37 million, but that's fine. The Pelicans should be okay with that, just because Tim Hardaway is the kind of player that can put up some numbers in scoring, but it's not necessarily going to make the Pelicans good enough. It's not going to make them good. Tim Hardaway put some numbers on the Knicks, and they suck. So I think that Zion's a major, major asset for the Knicks, and if something was going to get done, then the Knicks bring in Anthony Davis. You, in theory, if you don't give up Kristaps, which would be, I think, tough to do when he's coming off his ACL and hasn't even played yet, then you have the potential, with cap space, if you can ditch Tim Hardaway, they'd be near max cap space, and then that gives you the potential for a Kyrie Irving, for a Kawhi Leonard. If you can ditch a little more contract space, you can get in the realm of Kevin Durant. And with Kristaps as a restricted free agent, you can match whatever offer sheet. And then all of a sudden, the Knicks might be looking at a pretty nasty big three, especially if you can somehow, if the Knicks could somehow entice KD to go there.
Yeah, and I mean, the only reason why I kind of think the Knicks are actually in this kind of hunt is because of that pick that you mentioned before. I mean, it's kind of, as of now, it's guaranteed probably top three. And that's still not bad. I mean, if you end up at the third spot, you still get someone like an RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish that is still a potential franchise cornerstone player. So, I mean, it's interesting for sure. I mean, the Pelicans would definitely have to take Tim Hardaway Jr. off the Knicks books. But, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a good player. Michigan alum, shout out to him. But he's gonna put up numbers for you, and like you said, his numbers don't equate to wins. So I mean, that's kind of good. Like, you get a player who's fun to watch, but is also not winning games. So the fans are kind of entertained with watching it, and then you're also still in the hunt for getting high draft picks. So I'm not really big on the Knicks getting him, but I mean, you never know. Teams have taken less for something, so it's definitely still something to watch out for.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on, do you kind of want to get into one of yours, or you want me to talk about the Bulls?
I'll talk about the 76ers real quick. The 76ers were on the list for best odds at 850, right? They're tied with the Knicks, and the only thing about them is the only assets that they really have to trade are Markelle Fultz, who is a complete unknown wild card right now, and Ben Simmons, who is an all-star caliber player all NBA potential, MVP maybe potential. So Fultz seems like too much of a risk for the Pelicans to go after.
Definitely.
And I couldn't really imagine the 76ers trading Ben Simmons because of how well he kind of suits their team, their system, and their roster. So just on the 76ers real quick, I think they're out. An Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid pairing would be super fun to watch, but I don't think it'll happen. So he could take it from here with the Bulls.
Yeah, I'll just touch on it real quick. I don't think he's going to the Sixers. I don't think the Sixers should trade for him. I don't know. I don't really see like a good pairing that isn't either really bad for one of them or yeah. Chicago though, another kind of not very good team that has a decent amount of assets. The one thing about Chicago is, does Anthony Davis want to re-sign and play there? And this is kind of the big hurdle, for in my mind at least, is do the Bulls want to kind of go for this awkward, hasty rebuild and pull in Anthony Davis and maybe have to give up a Markkanen? Either way, the Bulls do have the assets to get it done. They can throw first-round pick this year, first-round pick 2021, second-round pick to from Memphis in 2020. They can ditch Jabari Parker, Wendell Carter Jr. There are pieces here for the Bulls to make it happen. And if they can keep Lauri Markkanen when doing it, it would give the Bulls a really nasty front court to build off, basically, and it would create a little bit of an awkward timeline with the ages of their players and things like that, but it's definitely a way to accelerate a rebuild and kind of start winning teams in the storied franchise of Chicago again. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think the Bulls are kind of an off-chance shot, but they've got the pieces to do it. It just kind of comes down to if the Pelicans would make them give up Lauri Markkanen or not, because if they gave up Markkanen, I don't think it's necessarily worth it, because it just kind of spikes their rebuild for no real reason.
Yeah, I think the Bulls would have to give up pretty much everything short of like Zach LaVine to get an Anthony Davis. And where I'm kind of saying like the Bulls shouldn't really pursue this is Anthony Davis has came out and said he wants to play for a winner and a contender. And the Bulls aren't going to be that. Like, yeah, it's his hometown, but what fun is playing for your hometown if you suck? So I don't think he would re-sign. It'd be kind of dumb for the Bulls to trade anything of significance for Anthony Davis, which is what they would have to trade. They're also in that realm of the top three pick, and they would have to trade up Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and all that, so I don't think it'd be a smart move for the Bulls. I mean, for the Pelicans, it probably would be a smart move to deal them to Chicago, but I just can't really see the Bulls making that kind of move, considering they'd gut everything and then still not really have any sort of guarantee that he would be back after a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they'd have less of a guarantee. I think they'd have to get lucky to bring in Anthony or to re-sign Anthony Davis, but it's not quite like it hasn't been done before. I mean, Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors. But again, the Raptors are good, so that's another
thing. Yeah, the Raptors are another the best thing, team the Raptors. East, so.
Yeah. anyway, moving on from the Bulls that are probably not going to get Anthony Davis. You got any more dark horses or anything?
Yeah, so my dark horse, kind of a far-fetch. I don't necessarily think they're going to land him. But it's the Trailblazers, the Portland Trailblazers. I've seen kind of an interesting package, which the Blazers would get AD and Solomon Hill, and the Pelicans would get CJ McCollum, Al-Farouq Aminu, and a 2019 first. And so Dame and AD would be a super good duo, I think. But kind of where this trade falls off for me a little bit is the likeliness that AD would re-sign, and the willingness of the Pelicans to take this, because they'd get a lot more from a team like the Lakers or even the Bulls, even the Knicks. So, I mean, that's kind of why it's a dark horse. It'd kind of be like when the Kings traded Boogie to the Pelicans. Like, they had a lot of better offers on the table, but I would hope the Pelicans front office isn't as idiotic as the Kings is, but, I mean, you kind of see how they've been, so I guess you never know.
I mean, the Pelicans front office is the one that brought in Boogie, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. The Blazers, that's why they're a dark horse. I don't think it's likely, but I guess crazier things have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the spirit of dark horses that we don't necessarily think are going to happen, mine's the Spurs. I find this really, really intriguing. You ditched a top three player in the NBA, arguably top three player in the NBA, for DeMar DeRozan and some change, basically. And kind of the idea was Popovich, let's see what magic Popovich can work. And to a degree, it's worked. I guess they're the sixth seed. But DeMar DeRozan is no replacement for Kawhi Leonard, and it's clear at this point that the Spurs aren't championship contenders. Not in the power of the West right now. Not in the power of the East right now, with the Raptors just getting Kawhi from them. And so Anthony Davis is kind of at 26 years old for the exact same reasons that Lakers fans should be excited about. The Lakers probably pushing hard for AD. The Spurs would do the same. 26-year-old franchise cornerstone that is going to another one of the most storied franchises in history, mainly because of Greg Popovich and all the fantastic players that have been there. But that's the winning. Literally, Anthony Davis expressly requested he wants to go to a franchise that can win games consistently. The Spurs are the most consistent team in the NBA over the last million years, or however old Pop is. I mean, it's silly. And so I think that getting Anthony Davis would be a massive boost to this franchise and put him back into the realm of not by himself. Anthony Davis isn't necessarily going to put him back into the realm of championship contention, not while we have the Golden State Warriors and other monsters, powerhouses right now. But Anthony Davis as your franchise cornerstone looks a whole lot better than DeMar DeRozan as your franchise cornerstone right now. Only issue is I'm not sure if the Spurs really have the assets to get it done. I unfortunately, the two first-round picks they hold this year are the top-seeded Raptors and the sixth-seeded themselves. That's not wowing the Pelicans into trading Anthony Davis. DeMar DeRozan, contractually and skill-wise, is basically the best asset that the Spurs have, and so I think in order for this to get done, you'd have to see DeMar DeRozan flipped. There's some other interesting prospects on the Spurs. Bryn Forbes, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, who's hurt right now, I believe.
Yeah, he's out for the season.
Is he? Yeah. So that would be something that would probably have to get done in the offseason. So, I mean, there's a few interesting prospects, but none of them kind of on the scale of... I wouldn't even say they're on the scale of what the Lakers could offer them. And so, I mean, it's definitely a long shot, but I think it would be super cool to see Greg Popovich and Anthony Davis teamed up.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is kind of like the same situation as the Trailblazers, where the Pelicans won't really be getting much, or they will be getting much, but not as much in return as they could get. I mean, the best thing they'll get is DeMar DeRozan, or in the Trailblazers' case, is CJ McCollum, where DeMar is good enough to win you a decent amount of games, but not good enough to really put you in the playoffs or anything past that. So it'll kind of ruin your rebuild that you're trying to do. It'll take away from the AD experiment where you're kind of floating on the playoffs. You might be good, you might make a run, so you'll be a tier lower than that, but you won't be a tier lower than the hovering around an 8 seed, 9 seed, 10 seed. You won't be in the tier of the 14, 13 seed or whatever that'll get a top pick. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense for the Pelicans. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for the Spurs, but they don't necessarily have the assets aside from DeMar DeRozan to kind of pull off a trade like that.
No, they definitely not. And we talked about it a little bit pre-show. It would, for both cases, the Spurs and the Trailblazers, it would kind of come down to, do the Pelicans feel like they can still compete or want to still try and compete, at least to some degree? Like you said, that's probably where they would settle in, getting a CJ McCollum or a DeMar DeRozan right on that outside of the playoff race where nobody really thinks they're going to make the playoffs. And then they just kind of hover there. But you would have an exciting player like CJ McCollum or like a DeMar DeRozan as the, all right, do everything, go try and score 30 plus for us. Like, that's probably not going to put you in the playoffs. Even if you get to the playoffs, you're not going to be successful. And so it's definitely unlikely. But once again, I think it'd be cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they call it a dark horse, I guess. So, I guess we kind of covered the teams that could make a deal right as of now. But one team we haven't mentioned yet, which we will mention right now, is the Celtics. And why we kind of saved them for last is because they will not be able to make a deal at all until the offseason due to the Derrick Rose rule, all that. So I'll let you kind of explain the Derrick Rose rule as it pertains to Kyrie.
Yeah, and so the Rose rule is pretty weird. I actually had no idea what it was or anything about it until I was researching this whole episode, basically. And so basically, currently, an NBA contract signed after or the summer of 2015 and beyond, you have the option for your rookie scale contracts to earn 30% of the salary cap as opposed to the 25% that it typically is. And currently, from 2015 and beyond, you, within your first four seasons, you'd have to win an MVP or a Defensive Player of the Year award or two All-NBA selections. However, before 2015, that provision I just kind of talked about is what the Rose Rule is now. But prior to that, 2014 and before, that those same criteria included All-Star selections. So, first of all, how ridiculous is it that All-Star selections at least back then, when the All-Star game was selected, because it wasn't the three parts that it is now, where it's the fans, the coaches, and players. Anyway, All-Star selections were part of that criteria, and so of course both Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving signed their extensions in that summer of 2014. Or in the summer of 2015 and 2014 when they both signed them. They were under that All-Star selection categorization. And so because of the Rose Rule, you can't have two of those players on your roster. So basically, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis can't be on the same team until one of them signs a new contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's super weird, super complex, kind of super annoying, because I don't know why really a rule like this would be put into place. But anyway, so kind of with that out of the way, that's why the Celtics have to wait till the offseason to make a deal, because Kyrie would have to opt out, and in that time is when the deal would have to take place, and then Kyrie re-signs, all that. So what makes this interesting and why I think the Pelicans will definitely wait until the offseason to make a deal is because the Celtics definitely have the most assets, the best assets to offer them. Not stating right now that they're going to make a deal with the Celtics, but I mean, it's definitely worth waiting to at least hear what you can get, what's going to be on the table. So, I mean, some framework, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, some picks that are going to be good is what they're offer is what they have off to offer. Gordon Hayward too. They would trade him in a heartbeat for AD. So, I mean, kind of with all their assets broken down, kind of what do you think a package would entail from the Celtics to the Pelicans?
I mean, this is so. First of all, I think you're right. The Pelicans do. They definitely should wait to see what the Celtics will give them, because the Celtics have by far the most assets in the NBA. It's really not even close. There's Jason Tatum, who's electric. Definitely the best prospect that they could give up for MVP caliber player like Anthony Davis. But there's also guys like you said, like Terry Rozier. I think Marcus Smart's a free agent after this year, is he not?
I think so. I kind of want to say Terry Rozier is too, but I mean, they're both really likely to re-sign if they both are, so.
Yeah, I think Terry Rozier as well. But I mean, you still have Jaylen Brown, who definitely still has upside. Draft picks galore still. So I think obviously the Celtics will have the intention of re-signing Anthony Davis and then bringing in did I say re-signing Anthony Davis?
Yeah, the that guy, I get what you're saying. The.
Re-signing Kyrie Irving. Sorry everybody, I've been up since 3 a.m. so we're getting to the point now where I'm super tired. So I'll try and go quick, but I think that they definitely, with the intention of re-signing Kyrie Irving, would obviously like to keep Jason Tatum, but I think they'd be willing to part with Jason Tatum, and I think that would be the kind of big thing that the Pelicans would want, is we want your best young player and draft picks, basically, and then you can sweeten the deal with a Terry Rozier or even a Marcus Morris, who is having probably the best year of his career, at least in terms of helping the Celtics win.
Yeah, so the Celtics definitely have all of the assets in the world to offer the Pelicans. Like you said, I mean, I definitely think a package has to include Jason Tatum. And to me, if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm not super upset about that because although Jason Tatum did go off in the playoffs last year, he is a little struggling this year. He hasn't found his groove really that he was in. He's taking a lot of weird shots, a lot of long two-pointers, which is pretty much a no-no in today's league. You don't really want your players taking a bunch of long mid-range shots, especially when they're not making them at a super high clip, like a clip of a DeMar DeRozan, which Jason Tatum currently isn't at. So that he definitely shows signs of not necessarily living up to the potential and expectations that he placed on himself after he balled out in the playoffs, which I mean, not really a bad thing because I still think if Jason Tatum doesn't reach those heights, I still think he'll be a really good player because right now he's still a really good player. I mean, it's only his second year or two, so I mean, he only has time to grow, and I don't think he's going to get worse than what he is. So I mean, getting Jason Tatum as he is now, and if he doesn't progress, I still think that's kind of a pretty good deal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Obviously, the Pelicans would be upset that Jason Tatum didn't develop into the franchise cornerstone, but that's the NBA. That's how it works. That's how it goes sometimes. And Jason Tatum is, like you said, nothing to scoff at right now. He's shown he can be a legit number one option. I mean, he showed it in the playoffs. And yes, he's not necessarily he's having a sophomore slump to a degree this season. But there's no reason to think that he can't shake that off when he did it on the grandest stage with the best competition. So I think Jason Tatum still has nowhere to go but up. And I guess that's the perfect sentiment nowhere to go but up. So he will not get worse than he is now, which is still a pretty good NBA player.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of with that being said, all the assets and stuff laid out, I mean, obviously, the Pelicans will more than likely wait till the offseason to make a deal. But one thing that isn't guaranteed of the Celtics anymore is if Kyrie will even be on the roster. So that's something kind of to look out for. I mean, he did make amends with LeBron and has said that it would be cool to get back with him and play on the same team as him. And obviously, that wouldn't be on the Celtics. It would be in LA on the Lakers with LeBron. So with knowing that, it kind of makes me a little weary because, I mean, obviously the Celtics can pull off a trade, but say Kyrie doesn't re-sign when he opts out, that more than likely kind of guarantees that AD will not re-sign because, like we've stated before, AD wants to play for a contender. And when you lose your best player before getting AD, that's not a good look.
It isn't necessarily, but I think so first of all, it's super interesting that Kyrie Irving would say something like this. He basically committed to re-signing to Boston at the beginning of the year. And of course, this is all speculation from the first report we've seen about it. But the fact that Kyrie said he would like to play with LeBron again, and LeBron's on a four-year, like his first long-term contract since Miami, basically, the writing's on the wall there is Kyrie would be interested in going to LA, basically, and he's going to get wined and dined and see if the Lakers are going to be worth it for him. And I think that at the end of the day, I think that whatever Kyrie does is going to play a massive role in where Anthony Davis goes. Or at least where it seems like he's leaning, because if Kyrie Irving says, "Yeah, if you can get Anthony Davis, let's do this." Like, the Lakers are giving everything that they have to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, and Boston just won't be willing to match that after, like you said, losing your best player to get a guy that didn't really want to be there in the first place. And then beyond that, I don't necessarily see the Celtics with all the talent that they have being in. I don't know if I see them kind of trying to pull a Raptors, basically, where you bring in the guy that doesn't necessarily want to be there for a year in hopes that you can win a championship and he stays.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Celtics really doing that either. So I don't know. It's tough now. I mean, had this kind of story broke like a week or two earlier, it kind of be like the Celtics really have it on lock. The Pelicans are going to wait till the end of the season. Kyrie's going to re-sign and all that. But now there's kind of some uncertainty, so that makes it more interesting for teams like the Lakers, the Sixers to an extent, the Knicks and all that. I mean, someone that we didn't really mention is the Raptors, who did take that
gamble on Kawhi. I think that would be crazy.
So just kind of shouting them out a little bit. I'm not really going to get into it. But the Raptors are definitely kind of on the watch list, too, for a trade for AD.
Yeah, and the Raptors, like you said with Kawhi, I mean, they've proven they're willing to go all in, and they still have plenty of talented role players and young prospects, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, so kind of with all that laid out with each team, we kind of wanted to talk about in depth, talked about. Do you have a prediction of where AD will be either at the trade deadline or at the off season or whatever?
I mean, we already really said it. If it's at the trade deadline, he's on the Lakers. I'm kind of crossing my fingers. I really hope that happens. If it's not the Lakers, my biggest prediction would be the Knicks. I think the Knicks would be willing to go all in for him.
Yeah, well, I don't really think he's going to get traded at the trade deadline. I think the Pelicans should be smart enough to wait it out, wait till the offseason, and really get all the offers that they can and all the assets that they possibly can. So With that being said, they will wait till the off season, but I'm kind of drawing a blank on where they're going to go, on where he's going to get shipped to. So I'm not going to make a prediction for that. You're more than free to. Trades are almost impossible to predict. We've seen it already this season and this past off season that teams can just come out of nowhere and make an offer. So I'm not really going to pick a team to single out here.
He's going to go to the Heat randomly out of nowhere.
Well, with that being said, AD will not be a Pelican, I don't think, after this next offseason.
If the Pelicans are anything but stupid, Anthony Davis will not be a Pelican next year.
Yeah, I mean, if the Kings could figure out to trade Boogie, even though they didn't get what they could have, I think the Pelicans could figure out to trade AD. So, I mean, with that kind of wrapped up, that's all I got for AD, if that's all you got.
That is all I got, a whole 55 minutes worth.
Well, shout out to everybody that has listened this far into this episode and has listened to our podcast in general. We have recently hit 1K total plays, which is kind of cool. It may not seem like a lot, but to me, at least, it's a lot. So thanks to everybody that's listened. It really gives me kind of the fuel to keep doing this and stuff. Like, obviously, it is fun to get on here and Skype with Big Red and talk about sports and stuff, but to know that there's actually people out there listening, it means a lot. So thank you for listening. And I guess this is Average Ant signing off.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Ant said, 1,000 listens, 1,000 plays. Doesn't seem like a ton, but, you know, it's got a comma in it. So it's pretty exciting. Love talking about sports. Love giving you guys content to listen to. So thanks for tuning in every week. Just Big Red is big fans of you guys being fans of Big Red. So Big Red signing off.
And we'll see you sometime later this week with the Super Bowl preview. So we'll see you then.